me now. Walk away. And welcome into another great, great episode of The Game Plan. This one entitled Heavyweights. Why is it called Heavyweights? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Of course, that makes me Jeremy the Impact York, joined by my co-host Sassy. You might hear her, you might not. I think she's just going to chill out. She's checking everything out. A lot to get into on the game plan. We got to preview the upcoming action. Both teams will be in action, both Georgia State and Kennesaw State. I'm going to give you my top four. I meant to do it last week, totally forgot. And then I call it my top four plus two. I'm actually going to do better than that. It's not only the next two out, but probably the two after that. So honestly, my top eight. We'll see how I did on my picks last week. And we'll make picks for the upcoming week. But for now, let's talk about that great win by Georgia State over the Arkansas Red Wolves. Now, some numbers. Well, first of all, final score, Georgia State 52, Arkansas State 38. Actually, Arkansas State ain't bad at all. It's come up a little short here. Dan Ellington, 29 for 41, 382 yards and a touchdown. But the run game. Trey Barnett ended up 14 carries for 139 yards and a touchdown, including the 56-yard runner he had that was just fantastic. And you had not only Dan, but Seth Page and Destin Coates, who also had 60-plus yards apiece. And in fact, Destin had three touchdowns with Dan and Seth picking up one apiece. That's where a lot of the scores came. Sam Pinckney, welcome back to the lineup. Nine catches, 120 yards, one touchdown there. And Cornelius McCoy had eight catches for 107 yards. I mean, you had two receivers over 100 yards. You had three people who ran for over 60 yards and another who ran for 139. Offensively, there's not much else you could have done any better. And, you know, just to be on the other side, let's see, try to figure out how this, there we go. Lane Hatcher, he did a pretty good job. 21 for 32, 299, four touchdowns, two interceptions, timely ones. Their run game just really couldn't get going. They did have a rush touchdown, but their two leading rushers had 58 and 45, respectively. Just couldn't get going. Now, they did have Kurt Merritt, nine catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown. Omar Bayless, eight catches, 154 yards, three touchdowns. That's number seven. Everybody's looking at that guy. That guy's a heck of an athlete. But, you know, those aren't bad numbers. They just weren't as good as what Dan and the rest were doing. On defense, some of the bigger players, Ed Kearney with a big sack, Dante Wilson, who we talked to, had one as well, and Terry Thomas had one also. The interception. Came from Tyler Gore. You know, Remy Lazarus with the he was a tackle monster. Had a lot of breakups and such. Just overall, you know, Brandon Wright with his kicking. I think they did some other people. Let's see. Who was it that had the... There it is. I believe it's Oliver Holdenson had a punt that did pretty good. You know, he was able to get some reps in there. But overall, just total team effort. We talked to Coach, and we talked to Trey. We talked to Dan, and we talked to I feel bad. I forgot the guy's name. Yeah, he's gonna be so mad at me. We talked to Hunter Atkinson. That's who we talked to, the senior left tackle. Super guy. I mean, just overall young man that all these guys are. I mean, just he's fantastic. I said we talked to Trey, we talked to a lot of them really. And something that I asked Coach that I kind of want to bring up a little bit is I asked him the fact that this team plays together and looks out for each other the way they do, because he made the comment Trey Barnett busted out the 56-yard run. He got tackled at like the inside the 10, and while he was slightly a little upset with himself, he didn't make it all the way in. When they put in Destin Coates to run the ball the rest of the way in, he was the first one to congratulate him on the touchdown instead of being selfish and wanting to know why it wasn't him. And I said, Coach, is this because of part of the culture that you've brought here to the school? To which he said, you'd have to ask these kids or these young men. Because, he can't answer a question like that. And so I totally saw where he was coming from, so I did ask him. One officially in the press conference and other places. But they said, yeah, that's part of it. It's part of who they are as people, and then the kind of things that coach instills in them to look out for each other, and that it is a team effort. So, it really is. And it's not that the culture was bad under Trent Miles. Trent Miles brought a great culture here as well. Georgia State has been very, very fortunate to have the head coaches that it has. So, big win. It pushes the team to it pushes Arkansas State to 3-3, 1-1 in the Sun Belt. Georgia State is now 3-2. They are 1-1 in the Sun Belt as well. That helps. It definitely helps. Needed that Sun Belt win because they're just getting started in play. Of course, this week. They will get also 3-2. There's Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina, who a lot of people didn't have a lot of faith in to do a lot of big things. And they beat the brakes off some people there for a minute. They're gonna bring it hard. They're not here for our entertainment. If it comes up, I'll tell you who all they beat. But yeah, this game coming up, I think if Georgia State can build off of this recent win versus the Red Wolves. Getting Dan early because we also found out this. Somebody asked if part of the reason why they started as fast as they did is Dan looked comfortable early because he went to a couple shorter throws to kind of help his confidence. And Coach said the way this offense is set up is that he has multiple options on each play. As you should. He goes, yeah, there's a focus, but feels more comfortable. Maybe, Dan pretty much decided upon himself that he wanted to do these throws and get a couple under him to set up some stuff later, which it ultimately did. And he said, yeah, those calls were Dan. So, you know, it's good to know that these guys have the ability to change stuff around or make decisions on their own. Too many people in college, you see these offenses where they just stare at the sideline and it's just like they don't want to move until they're given the okay. Where it seems like Coach Elliott likes to run a ship that, yeah, we're a little bit of a tight ship, but you have the ability to think on your own and make decisions for yourself and others, you know, all calculated decisions. But doesn't look like that screen's gonna come up, nothing new. So, like I said, you got, I believe they are both on the in the same side of the division. Is it the East and West or whatever? Yeah, I think so. Of the Sun Belt, but this game in Conway, South Carolina. It's a lovely place, especially this time of year. And Coastal Carolina is favored by 5.5. Now, like I said, they get 3 points for being at home, so they're a 2.5 point favorite on neutral territory. Okay, that's pretty much telling me it's a field goal game. That's they have confidence in Georgia State, and they've lost a little bit out of Coastal Carolina. But Coastal's not, they're not slouches. They're not gonna, plus they're gonna be at home. It's gonna make it a little more difficult. Let's see, the win in Tennessee, and oh, then the back. Okay, so they're 1-2 on the road. The only real embarrassment was the Western Michigan. The Texas State went all the way to 3 overtimes. It's kind of hard to hold that against them. But yeah, that's going to be a big game. I'm going to hope to catch part of it as I'll be at the Kennesaw game covering that one. Which let's get into that one. Kennesaw off their bye week. You know, I told you that Coach Bohannon said that they're not dinged up, but they're tired, and you know, just tired and bruised up a little bit, I guess. So that week off did them a lot of good. Got some people healthy, got some people healthier, which is usually just as important. And then they will welcome in Charleston Southern. They are the Buccaneers. We have the Buccaneers and the Owls. Well, based off the way I like to pick games, you know, for fun, if a Buccaneer, which is basically a pirate, were to fight an owl in an owl's setting, that'd be probably in a tree. I give the advantage to the owl. I also give the advantage to Kennesaw in this respect. They do pretty good in 3 p.m. games, which is when this one is in Kennesaw over at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. And the fact that Kennesaw is 4-1 and Charleston Southern is 1-4. That don't mean anything any given Saturday. But Charleston Southern, even when they get things going, sometimes it's a little on the late side. We learned that if you don't hit Kennesaw early and often, you can't boat race them. You can't go score for very long. And let's just hope that this game goes past two and a half quarters. You know, the rain out last time. But also, you got to think that helped with the rest because that was only about half a game everybody played in. And not everything was perfect. They had plenty of stuff to work on. So, what do I think is going to happen in these games? Well, I'll tell you. I think Georgia State is going to win by 5. But I think they're going to win either way. And I think Kennesaw is going to probably win by possibly 15. I'm looking at right at two scores. It could be more, it could be less. But I think both are going to be able to carry on. It seemed like Charleston Southern was having a couple issues stopping fast pace and the run, which is exactly what Kennesaw does right. And plus the defense has got some stuff to prove after the short, pretty much aerial display right before halftime of the last game that seemed to put a bad taste in some people's mouths. So I look forward to them definitely fixing that, and it's going to be a great game. We're going to be out there. Come find us. Come say hello. Come check out a great game. It's Kennesaw is a very, very fun watch. A very fast pace. Because a lot of people are like, well, all they do is run the ball. It's so many misdirection and such things that the option is. You just got to see it in person. Plus, it's going to be a great day. I'm pretty sure it's pretty good weather. 3 p.m. Come see us. Now, before I get into my picks from last weekend, this week, my top four. My top four plus two. Although it's kind of my top four plus two plus two. As of right now, this is how I would order the teams. It's not far off from what the national coverage is. I got number one as Alabama, and it's not default. I think right now they're the more complete team, and I'm giving them benefit of the doubt because they haven't really had that much of a hiccup. Number two, I've got the University of Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs, number two. I think they could definitely give a run to anybody else here, and at the moment, without looking at matchups, I think UGA-Alabama would probably be a final that we would all watch. Number three, I got Clemson. Once again, part benefit of the doubt, part they only really had the hiccup where they almost lost, but they didn't. But we all know how that looks. As much as it pains me, number four, my fourth team right now would be Ohio State. Justin Fields should have been the quarterback at UGA. Didn't really get a fair shake, in my opinion. He was able to find a place that gave him a fair shake, and the dude can play. Looks like, you know, QBU is UGA here lately. It used to be running backs and linebackers, but yeah. And that'd be my top four, which means Ohio State, Alabama, and UGA, Clemson would be my matchups. Like I said, I think UGA and Alabama would win both those matchups. And they'd be really good games, but Alabama, UGA. I'll try to do that every week. But my plus two, my ones who I think are good, or they're really good, they're not great yet. Number five, I got Oklahoma. Not just what Jalen Hurts is doing, but my goodness. They might go back-to-back-to-back with Heismans. The offense is booming. The defense is improving. A lot of people out that way don't play a lot of good defense because they spend more time on offense. But if you get in a score-for-score fest, I mean, if you ask Alabama, they don't want to go in a score-for-score fest with Oklahoma because at some point you might run out of bullets before they do. And then number six, kind of the emerging team, it's good to see them back on top, and that's LSU. Yes, I know that means there are three SEC teams in my top six. There's actually a fourth in my top eight that we will get into in a minute. But, yeah, if any of those top four teams were to falter, I could see moving Oklahoma or LSU with a big performance into my top four. But that's my top four. That's my plus two. And then tonight I got the plus two, plus two. Basically, my number seven team is Wisconsin. They really embarrassed my Wolverines. They needed it. They needed the embarrassment more than Wisconsin needed the super blowout win. They're just a really good team. They're always good on the offensive and defensive line. And have no doubt that they can beat an Ohio State. They can probably beat any of my top eight, I believe, have the opportunity to beat anybody else in the top eight if they play. And then basically my eighth team is University of Florida, the Gators. Once again, good to see the Gators back doing well. And they put a lot of really good things together. And if they don't crack the top four this year, I would look out for them next year, because I don't feel like they're going to lose a whole lot without looking at it. But Florida plays a very complete game, and they can be very spazzy. And spazzy into when they need a big moment, suddenly they can come up with a moment. You know, back to the Percy Harvin, Tim Tebow days. And that's basically, I'll recap, but my top four is Alabama, UGA, Clemson, and Ohio State. My plus two, basically my first two teams out, would be Oklahoma and LSU. And then technically to round out the eight, I've got Wisconsin and Florida. Hope that kind of gives you an insight as to where I am, where I think about stuff. And, you know, always questions, comments, suggestions. You guys know how to get a hold of us. And let's go to my picks. All right, last week I went 3-1. I went 4-0, but I went against my head. And of course, that was in the Iowa game where I said pick Iowa. I just felt like they were going to somehow find a way to beat Michigan. And that game turned into a 10-3 victory for Michigan. A loss for me as far as the picks went, but a win because Michigan found a way to hang on and win when they could. Neither one of these guys could do anything on offense. But I lost that one pick-wise, but I gained that one because big fan. I told you to pick Florida, number 10 Florida over number 7 Auburn. 24-13 win for Florida on that one, so that was my first win. My second win come when I told you to take number 13 Oregon over Cal. Now, a lot of people said 13 versus an unranked. This shouldn't have been close. Well, 17-7 sounds a lot closer than I'd be willing to bet the Oregon Ducks wanted it to be. But 17-7 is still a victory. And at 42-31, told you to take number 11 Texas versus West Virginia. It was in West Virginia. Told you to take Texas. Like I said, 42-31, that's number 11 versus an unranked. So the Texas program, I think, is officially back. They're back. You know, these top 10 or 12 teams are all the classics, or I call them classics, but they're the big powerhouses that were big, you know, outside of Miami or a couple others when I was, you know, Nebraska, when I was basically in high school and growing up, the teams you always heard about. But 42-31 for a 11 versus an unranked, that's pretty crazy. Now, this week, I'm going to live pick these games because I wrote them down. I wrote information about them, but I have not actually made decisions until right now. Number 6, Oklahoma is going to go to number 11, Texas. And these numbers may be a little off because I wrote them down a couple days ago. That is number 5, or that's a 5-0 team versus a 4-1 team. That is the noon kickoff on Fox. Oklahoma is favored by 10.5. First of all, take the under. This is going to be a lot closer than you think it would be, but still take the Oklahoma Sooners to win this one by less than 10.5. Put it that way. Washington State, which is becoming QBU as well, as there's a couple of those starting in the NFL. Washington State is going to go to Arizona State. Got a 3-2 team versus a 4-1 team. 3:30 afternoon kickoff on the Pac-12 network. This is actually an even game, which means if Arizona is given 3 points, that they would actually be 3-point dogs on a neutral site, and they would be 6-point underdogs if they were playing at Washington State. I still think, as much as Washington State has been doing good stuff, I still take you take Arizona State win that game. Number 7, Florida versus number 5, LSU. Two teams I just told you about that I like a lot. not just because they're winning. I like a lot of the things they're doing. They're finally got the right pieces, and it just trickled down. You know, the right pieces in place. Florida is 6-0. LSU is 5-0. I guarantee somebody is not going to be undefeated after this game. That is a 8 p.m. ESPN kickoff. Should be home in time to catch that one from the KSU game. LSU is actually a 13-point favorite. First of all, take the under. Second of all, it kind of pains me, even though I like the offensive-defensive lines of LSU better. Just something about I think these Gators are on a roll. So I'm going to call the upset, and I'm going to tell you to take the Florida Gators over the LSU Tigers. And lastly, because I always like picking a late game, Hawaii is going to travel to number 14, Boise State, as a 4-0 Hawaii team. I think it's the Warriors. Are they the Rainbows still? I don't remember. But they're 4-1 against a 5-0 Boise State team. 10:15 Eastern Time. Kickoff on ESPN2. Boise State is actually a 12.5 point favorite. 12.5. That's a lot. Once again, take the under. And I'm going to call it again. I'm going to say take Hawaii. Take the University of Hawaii to win that game. Now to recap, I've got Oklahoma over Texas. That's on the road. Take the home team, Arizona State versus Washington State. And take the two road teams, Florida over LSU and Hawaii over Boise State. Now, that's going to do it for us this week on the game plan. Shortly following this will be Sports Club. Hope you guys enjoy. There are some cool discussions there. We will mention that thing that happened in Sports Club. Pat York, we will see you guys next week. Gooses, deuces.
With me now. Come with me now. Afraid to lose control.